Previously on Heroes.
And you see what people want. Their desires. Their hopes.
Got your power.
Isn't that interesting?
I know why you can't kill. Hiro Nakamura said you're going to die alone, and it's haunting you. We all need people who understand us.
Care for us.
Who is she? The love of my life.
Just shows up.
He's stalking you?
He does seem...
obsessed.
I had to act to protect you, to get you away from him.
By kidnapping me?
You can never change the past. It's bad. Always. Everything is connected.
If you want to change one thing, that's all you do.
I've come back in time to save Charlie. And this time, I will defeat the brain man.
Something I want you to see. So magical, so beautiful. Just let me show you, that's all. If you're still unhappy, I'll take you right back to California.
Did they really think they were going to get away with it? Forever, that we would just never find out?
We shouldn't have done it.
I need time to grieve without being reminded why.
In the college canteen, Gretchen watches as Claire plays with a bowl of oatmeal.
Do you want to talk about it? About what? Life among the carnies, the death of your father? I mean, either one of those would be enough to mess me up.
I don't think I'd know where to start. I think it's one of those things I just have to figure out by myself.
Claire throws her a patronizing smile.
Listen, I'm not going to pretend to know what you're going through right now, but I want you to know that I'm here for you if you need anything, anything at all.
Gretchen reaches for her hand, but Claire pulls away.
I have this review lesson thing. I moved it to Babs Hall. I have no idea where that is.
East Quad, clear across campus.
Of course it is.
When she's gone, someone approaches Gretchen.
Excuse me. Is this seat taken?
It's Sila. Heroes, created by Tim Kring. Noah Bennett's apartment, Washington, D.C. And O'Han's Hiro a glass of water and says, "You're sure you're feeling okay? You don't look too good." Hiro replies, "I'm fine, just thirsty, thanks." Bennett appears and asks, "Are you okay?" Mohinder's in the room.
How's it coming?
It's ready. Now remember, it'll only work in the hands of one of us. Luckily, you have Hiro and Ando now.
You sure I can't change your mind?
I broke a promise to a girl. I need to make amends.
Well, then I guess this is it.
An ally's one, is it ever?
Thanks, Minder. Good luck.
You too, Noah.
Mohinder shakes hands with Ando, then turns to bow to Hiro. Hiro returns the gesture, but frowns, and then collapses as Mohinder leaves.
Well, gentlemen, I guess it's up to us.
Hiro wakes immediately in the Burnt Toast Diner, which seems to bear a resemblance to a courtroom.
Hello, Carl.
Madame Mondo. But you are dead. Am I dead?
Ask for the judge to decide.
Judge?
I'll rise. The Honorable Judge Kaito Nakamura presiding.
To-san.
Be seated.
この裁判の当事者は?
The world versus Hiro Nakamura, Your Honor.
The what versus what?
Nakamura Hiro. お前はヒーローの
Kaito, dressed as a judge, says, you are accused of breaking the Hiro's code, willfully altering the timeline for personal gain. If found guilty, the crime is punishable by death. Hiro lets out a sigh. At the college, Claire climbs a large flight of stairs to a near-empty classroom.
Excuse me, is this Professor Yano's review session?
No. Study group. Ready to brainstorm?
What the hell are you doing here?
I came to learn.
At the carnival, Samuel is shaving with a cutthroat razor. Vanessa wakes on the sofa in his caravan and looks around. While Samuel carefully slices the stubble from his chin at a mirror outside the caravan, she lets the material of a black and white dress draped on a hanger fall through her fingers. Then, donning a leather jacket, she leaves the trailer.
How'd you sleep? A dress is a gift. If you want to change into something...
A gift? You kidnapped me. Brought me to... I don't even know where we are because you won't tell me.
You're right. I'm sorry. I never meant to upset you. I'll take you back home. Straight away.
What? What are you smiling about?
Your face. Just now, it brought me back to when I broke your record player. He had this one song. He played over and over and over. And I was just kidding around, but I broke the arm. Remember?
Yes. I remember.
Good. Because, it's something I still want you to see.
The only thing I'm interested in seeing is my own front door.
But first, let me get you something to eat. And then you'll be rid of me for good, I promise.
This is how it always starts. Breakfast becomes lunch, lunch becomes dinner, dinner turns into drinks, and then...
I fixed your record player. I broke it, and then I fixed it. I know what I've done wrong, and I know how to make it good. Scotch tape, and wire hangers, and loads of good intentions.
He studies her closely, and eventually she gives in.
Fine. Something to eat. Then you take me home.
Good, great.
He has a brain tumor in the parietal lobe. The doctors in Japan said it's inoperable, but...
You may not have a choice.
Please, doctor, he's my best friend. I can't
just... Wait here. We'll find out what's happening.
Please help him.
It is our intent to prove that the defendant abused his power to bend space and time selfishly
and repeatedly for his own personal gain and with a blatant disregard for the consequences on the space-time continuum.
Kaito asks, how does the defendant plead, then chastises Hiro for referring to him as father and not your honor.
This is some bad dream or tumor hallucination.
Let the record show that the defendant fails to recognize the authority of this court.
This isn't a court, it's a diner.
Perhaps Your Honor could enter a plea for the defendant if he refuses.
Hiro exclaims, I plead not guilty. Do I get a lawyer? Even in a diner, I'm entitled to a lawyer, right? Kaito replies, of course. And suddenly, Ando is sitting next to Hiro, looking through paperwork.
Mr. Monroe, please call your first witness.
The prosecution calls Kimiko Nakamura. And Ando Masahashi.
Kimiko and Ando as children appear in the courtroom. At the college.
Do you know how much I would love to kill you?
Listen. I know you must hate me.
You killed my father!
Nathan. Seems like a lifetime ago. But I'm a little off my game. You're gonna help me get it back.
Says who?
Says this. Your face showing up in ink wasn't my choice. It's destiny. Showing me my desire.
And you actually thought that I would...
Relax. They told me I need a connection. A friend. I don't want to be alone. And somehow you're supposed to help me.
I wouldn't help you if my life depended on it.
It's not your life you should be concerned about.
Sila glances at Gretchen's backpack.
Gretchen.
Sila raises his eyebrows at her.
Let's get this over with. You don't have to hurt Gretchen.
I promise that you will see her again just as soon as you help me answer my question. Here is what I've been thinking. You and me. We got a lot in common. We're both adopted. Abandoned by parents who didn't want us. And raised by parents who didn't understand us.
My parents understand me just fine.
Stop lying to yourself. Both of our dads were cold-blooded killers, which is ironic because you and I cannot be killed.
I get it. Okay, we have a few arbitrary things in common. What is your point?
My point is they're not arbitrary. They're formative. The basic building blocks of our lives. And we have the same blocks. Yet here we are. Content college co-ed. And me. How did we end up so different?
You want to know what the difference is? You're a psychopath. Mystery solved.
Using his powers, he forces her onto a sofa.
You think this is a game? This is my life. You're supposed to help me. Or don't you care how many fillets I slice your roommate into? If you're not going to contribute, I'll just have to take the answers from your head.
You're gonna slice my head open again?
I've evolved way beyond that. Our friend Lydia gave me a much more precise instrument. She could read someone just by touching them. See into the very depths of their soul. Of course, her methods were a little hyper-erotic, but now what the hell? It is college, isn't it?
As she grimaces, he leans in and kisses her. At an ice cream parlor, Samuel is sitting at a table while Vanessa stands nearby.
The dress suits you.
A waitress brings a milkshake.
What's that?
Strawberry milkshake. Your favorite.
That was a long time ago.
How about this one? The last time I crashed in your dorm room, we talked all night.
Among other things.
Smiling, he moves next to her, now that she's sitting in a window seat.
You talked about your dream home.
That was the tequila talking.
A peaceful cottage surrounded by nature and happiness.
You're such a romantic. Actually, that's something I've admired about you. But there comes a time when you have to realize that you're never gonna have that cottage.
Says who? Can you honestly tell me you don't look back at our time together with a hint of fondness?
Pulling the table towards them, he puts two straws into the milkshake. She watches as he takes a sip from one. With a sultry smile, she pulls the milkshake towards her and drinks from the other straw. Then he sits closer to her. At the hospital, Ando makes his way to an observation room to watch surgeons prep for Hiro's operation.
What's your prognosis?
On his gurney, Hiro opens his eyes to find himself in the courtroom as Adam cross-examines the youthful Ando and Kimiko. Tell me about that day at the carnival, Mr. Masahashi, and what happened to the slushy in question, he asks. Young Ando says, it slipped out of my hands. Kimiko adds, and it hit a strange old man. Adam asks, is that the man in the courtroom?
The witness has identified Hiro Nakamura, who's clearly and selfishly interfered with the timeline.
Higiari!
Ando objects and says, Your Honor, he helped two people fall in love. If anything, it's a selfless act. Kaito asks, Is that true, Hiro? To which he replies, Two people found love and no one was harmed. Where is the crime in that?
Just so
I'm clear, on your personal scale of temporal justice, it's okay so long as no one gets hurt.
Yes, that is my definition.
That's good to know. Because I believe my next witness is here.
Sila is the next witness.
Just tell me where she is.
Claire Bennett, you've been holding out on me.
What are you talking about?
Why I was supposed to find you, you and I are the same.
I am nothing like you.
You do exactly what I do. You use this gift, this curse, whatever it is, to build walls. Make it impossible to actually connect with another person. Like Gretchen. God, all those memory hits I got from your stuff while I was tying her up have such a different context now. Everything in that room is so full of pauses.
What did she say?
Pauses, all these moments so ripe with subtext. Can I borrow your book? Cut my hand with these scissors. All these interactions, and you still can't say the one thing you really want to say to this girl. Heck, you keep this up, you might end up alone forever too.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I think I do. The indestructible girl who can't put herself out there to get hurt. What? No angry retort?
She stabs him in the eye with a pencil.
You're right, you are off your game. You just told me exactly where she is.
How many people have I killed? Hundreds, I suppose.
And all of this because of an agreement you made with the defendant?
Yep. He told me if I saved the waitress, I could have the cheerleader and anybody else I wanted to kill.
And as long as you saved his girlfriend, you could kill some more, willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Seems to me that a lot of people were hurt as a result of Mr. Nakamura's time tampering.
Hiro shouts that he was trying to save Charlie without bending time, and Kaito silences him. Ando says, My client was trying to do what was right.
Really? Does this look right to you?
Tell me again, who else met their death by your hand after Hiro made this deal?
Well, there was her, an Eden-ish, two Primatech guards.
The Melty guy.
The mechanic, Isaac Mendez, my mother, some guy named Ted something, Ted.
And so on and so on. If Hiro was acting out of nobility, perhaps he should have stopped this vicious killer before these countless murders.
Sprague. Ted Sprague.
See, saving Charlie wasn't for the heroic good. It was for the good of Hiro.
No, romantic or not, Charlie was a good person.
Kaito slams a sugar shaker down like a gavel. Then Hiro tells them the world was a better place with Charlie in it, and that he stands by that.
Fair enough. And the prosecution would like to call its final witness. Charlie Andrews!
Charlie doesn't appear.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we can't bring Charlie in. Because this world-improving person is lost in time. Now tell me, how did that happen again?
I made a deal with a...
I'm sorry. You have to speak out.
I made a deal with a villain, and he double-crossed me.
Prosecution rests, Your Honor.
Hiro drops down into his chair. At Samuel's trailer.
A shake root, wraparound porch, and a stone path leading to a lake where the sun glistens over the water.
How'd you remember all of that?
I have my ways. I know all the details.
By heart, it would seem.
Hard to forget.
It was
holding you close to me, and the way you painted it. Man, it's so real, like it came from your soul, like it was you.
You always know the right thing to say. You have the perfect scrap of poetry in your pocket to...
To what?
She tries to grab a piece of paper from his hand.
It's a big oak tree in the yard surrounded by wildflowers.
And a couple of rocking chairs on the deck to watch the sunset.
You do remember.
He holds up the crumpled paper. It's a sketch of her dream cottage. She smiles up at him.
A fireplace to keep us warm.
A summer breeze to keep us cool.
How do you do it? Every single time.
Slowly, their lips meet. And as carnival smoke wafts around them, they kiss tenderly. Next, they're running through a flowery meadow.
This is so beautiful. How did you do this?
My friends and I can do the most amazing thing. Look, there's your dream cottage. No more traveling now. We're making a home, a real home. For me, for you, if you'll have me.
Sam.
You said you couldn't join a carnival. Well, now you don't have to. No more carriage homes, no more main homes, just that. Away from everything. It's what you talked about. It could be our life.
I can't live here.
But you said...
I know what I said. It's just that I didn't think you'd actually...
Actually do it.
Yeah. But, I mean... This dress and the milkshake and all of this. This is a fantasy.
And I made it come true for you.
No, Sam. For you. This is your fantasy. And it's beautiful. And I'm happy for you. My life isn't here.
I changed everything.
Don't tell me you did all of this for me. Please, don't tell me this was all for me.
He forces a smile.
No, of course not. Listen, I should get you back home. Thank you for indulging me.
Oh, Sam.
No, it was really...
She tries to kiss him. But he pulls away.
It was really nice to see you again.
She watches as he walks away from her, the perfect cottage from the sketch in the distance behind her. Tearfully, she brings her hand up to her mouth. At the college, Claire races across campus to her dorm.
Gretchen? Gretchen? Are you okay?
I'm fine. All things considered.
I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. You never should have gotten caught up in it.
Okay. I'm happy you're here. And that it's over.
It is over, isn't it? No. He's not done.
Somewhere out in the open?
No, he'll be expecting that. He's trying to flush us out.
How do you know?
Because apparently I get the way he thinks.
Someone's coming!
In here.
They hide in a cupboard.
So, Zyler, huh? The East Side?
Yes. Well, no. Kind of the emo apologist version. He's had me trying to figure out what his issues are.
Seriously? How'd that go?
Pencil in the eye. Listen, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Getting used to being all Perils of Pauline.
No, not about that. Well, yes, about that, but... about breakfast. About sometimes keeping you at arm's length.
It's cool. Are you kidding? If you don't want to.
I do want to. I just am scared and I get afraid that I'm gonna get hurt, and so I use my specialness to build these walls instead of jumping off bridges. I suck at metaphors, but what I'm trying to say is that...
It's okay, really.
No. No, it's not. This guy, Siler, he sat there and told me that we're very much alike, and he's not wrong. And I'm afraid that I'm gonna end up alone for the rest of my life like him. And I don't know how to fix it.
Do you want to talk about it?
I like to think of myself as just a girl who happens to have powers. And it's just one thing in a list of attributes. Loyal, friendly, regenerative, good skin, you know?
You do have good skin.
But when you put the chips down and life gets tough, I hide behind that one label, that one attribute, and I close myself off. And no wonder Tyler's so messed up. I can only imagine what having a bunch of excuses could do to someone's humanity.
Maybe that's his answer. In order to become human again, he has to get rid of all of his powers.
Yeah, maybe.
Gretchen is Siler.
Now, was that so hard?
You son of a bitch. Where is she?
It's dinner time. I imagine she's right where you left her.
You never took her.
Like I said, I've been having a little trouble being myself.
He hands her the scarf that had been tied round Gretchen's mouth and leaves the cupboard. Claire hurries to the canteen and finds Gretchen on a sofa.
Gretchen?
Oh. Oh.
You're okay.
Yeah. Of course I'm okay. Well, some guy stole my backpack, but what's with you?
Nothing. I'm fine, and you're here, and you're all right.
Claire, you're acting really weird.
I'm sorry. I'm really lucky to have you. And I'm sorry about this morning.
Forget it. You know me. Impulsive Gretchen wants to hold hands, so she does it.
I know, and I love that about you, and I want to be more like that and not be beholden to any label or definition or who I'm supposed to be. I want to hold your hand.
Claire holds Gretchen's hand and smiles.
People are going to start to talk.
Let them talk. Talking's good. In fact, I could use some talking if you still have a sympathetic ear.
I, in fact, have two ears.
Happily, they get up from the sofa and walk out of the canteen hand in hand, unaware that Siler is watching them with a wistful expression. In the burnt toast courtroom, Kaito says, "Mr. Masahashi, please call your first witness."
Masahashi-kun, 最初の証人を呼びたまえ.
The jury and other court officials look on as Ando seems lost in his paperwork. Adam looks to Kaito and pulls a face.
Masahashi-kun.
Kaito calls him again, and this time Ando looks up at him, then glances over at Hiro. He gets to his feet and declares, "The defense calls Hiro Nakamura to the stand." Hiro whispers, "Have you seen Law and Order? That always backfires." Ando replies, "You have any better witnesses sitting around? Because I don't." Hiro takes his place at one of the counter stools. Ando asks, "Mr. Nakamura, how long have you known the defendant?" Hiro replies, "All my life." And what has been the driving force motivating you this whole life? Hiro replies, to be a hero, noble and true. Ando continues, and when you discovered your ability, did you rob banks or become famous? Hiro says, no, I promised to only use it for good. Ando says, and how has that worked out? Hiro replies, I saved the world, twice. And did you break your code by doing so? The answer is no. And did you even break it to save your own murdered father? Hiro's answer is, no, I did not. Ando asks, so what changed? And Hiro sadly replies, I was weak. Ando continues, so you found yourself a victim of a bad man's con? Hiro answers, I did. And I found myself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong.
Objection, Your Honor. He's reciting the opening to Quantum Leap.
Kaito asks Hiro to wrap it up. Hiro composes himself and says, yes, I used poor judgment, but despite the sometimes disastrous effects, it was to make the world a better place for family and friendship and love. And if breaking my code for those things makes me guilty, then I suppose I'm guilty. Kaito looks at him and says, so be it. Guilty.
200 joules. Charging.
Yuzaida.
Clear! No response. 240.
Bring it up.
Charging. Clear!
Still nothing. Start compression.
Ando wills him on.
Damedayo, Hiro.
Still no pulse. We're losing him.
Let's shock him again.
Charging. Clear!
Once again, Hiro sits up on his gurney in the operating theater. The doors open to reveal a long white corridor where the people from the courtroom are waiting for him, headed up by Kaito, Ando, and Adam. He bows to them, and as he walks out of the theater, they part to reveal a bright white light at the end of the corridor. Slowly, he walks towards it. As he makes his way along the corridor, the group follow close behind him. Then he stops and turns to them. Facing Kaito, he says, I want to change my plea to guilty. If this is the end, then I want to go out with honor, doing the right thing. I want to go out a hero. Kaito smiles and says, go, my son. A samurai sword appears in Hiro's hand, and he looks down at it. Kaito says, fight for your honor. Then the group parts once more to reveal that Adam also has a sword.
Not so fast, Cobb.
Unbuttoning his suit jacket, Adam launches himself at Hiro. While in the hospital, Ando mutters support from the observation room. Adam elbows Hiro in the back, sending him face down on the floor. The sword slips from his grasp, but he grabs it again. As they fight, Adam is forcing Hiro closer and closer to the light. Watching the doctors working on Hiro, Ando says, I've seen him bend the very fabric of time and space. You are a superhero. At this, Hiro forces Adam back, and after some expert swordplay, he drives his blade deep into Adam's stomach. A figure appears behind Hiro in the doorway to the light.
Hiro.
He turns to look at her, although she's merely a blur. He says, Mother, I've missed you so much. She says, as have I, son, as have I, and I'm so proud of you for all the lessons you've learnt. Hiro says, the tumor. I thought I could fight it, that I could beat science, but I can't. Stepping closer to her, she appears in focus. He says, Mother, I'm ready to go. Smiling, she says, No, Hiro. Some things are more powerful than science, like destiny. Confused, he asks, So you haven't come to take me? No, she replies. I've come to heal you. Stepping closer to him, she places her hands on his cheeks, and as he leans his head forward, she kisses him on the brow. He straightens up, smiling tearfully in the bright glare of the light behind her. At the hospital, Hiro's pulse rate begins to rise.
We got a pulse.
He's coming back. He's rising.
Hiro! Hiro!
At the ice cream parlor, Samuel puts a song on the jukebox, then at the table in the window, pushes his strawberry milkshake away from him. The waitress comes over.
Something wrong, sir?
Yes, something is wrong.
He scowls at her.
Am I scaring you? Do I look scary?
Sir, I just wanted to know.
I think that I can see how you're looking at me right now. That I'm different? Looking down your nose at me like I'm not good enough? I'm trying to change myself for you. Trying to fit into your world. Play by your rules. From now on, you're all gonna play by mine.
As Samuel clenches his teeth and fists, the ground shakes as if an earthquake has hit. The milkshake topples from the table and smashes. At the carnival, the travelers can feel the tremor and race over to the hillside to look down at the town. They're horrified as they look on to see the whole place collapse into a deep crater. Later, Samuel returns to the carnival and walks slowly to his trailer, shutting the door behind him. On the road, Vanessa is being driven home by someone. She caresses a flower from the meadow against her face. In their dorm room, Claire and Gretchen are talking by candlelight. Suddenly, they both burst into hearty laughter. At the hospital, Ando is at Hiro's bedside. At home, Janice is playing with baby Matt. She carries him to the front door, where Sila is waiting.
Can I help you?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm Gabriel, friend of Matt's, 12th Precinct.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's not here right now.
Oh, is there any way that you could tell me where he is? It's really important that I speak with him.
Sure. I'm sorry, have we met?
To be continued.
All New Heroes continues next Sunday at 10. Coming up next on BBC Three, Family Guy kicks off a stack of comedy.